We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time now for James and Drelic on Boston Sports Station. WEEI.
Doc comes down almost six times in a row against Rico. You know, what are you really going to do? It's slowing the game down. So the run that you would hope to make in a quarter like that doesn't happen. I mean, shot 22 on the game. I mean, it's getting ridiculous at this point. You know, it's just slowing the game down. So the refs have a difficult job. We have a difficult job. Obviously, I can sit up here and can complain. We know the disparity and what it is, but I'm not going to put all the emphasis on the refereeing. I think that there are a lot of controllable things on our end that we can be better at.
You know, there's a lot of things I could say. First and foremost, I haven't seen this guy in a while. Welcome back, Evan Drellick. Good to see you.
Off the mark with the CJ.
Yeah, good to see you. Not the most politically correct thing I could say right now.
That's always a good way to start.
Yeah, yeah. John Havlicek is rolling over in his grave right now. Red Auerbach is rolling over in his grave right now at that piss-poor, pathetic performance last night at TD Garden. And I said it to the to Greg Doyle with the Indianapolis Star, and it got national writing when he asked about, in terms of, you know, like what I think about Brad Stevens, and I'm going to say it again, that this guy, I'm going to call from now on, you know, and I don't know how long it'll stick. It'll probably stick for a while. I'm going to call him Brad Farrell because he's actually John Farrell without a ring. What happened last night, and the Celtics got off to that hot start, and the Garden was rocking and rolling on a Friday night, and in Milwaukee, you knew they were going to come back and they were going to counterpunch. That was pathetic, and I'll say it before, I'll say it again. Brad Stevens got out-coached by Mike Budenholzer. The Bucks, I think now, after taking what we're looking at at this point as an anomaly, as an aberration in Game 1 when the Celtics came out and hit him in the mouth and Milwaukee didn't know how to respond, they went back into the laboratory, and all they did was they looked at it and they said, all right, here's what we're going to do to counter. They hit him in Game 2. Celtics had no answer. Last night, inexcusable, unacceptable, and absolutely pathetic. And Gordon Ari Hayward didn't show up last night. It was garbage Hayward who showed up last night. Should be ashamed of himself for how he played. And I'm going to tell you this right now. This team beat the Bucks last year, Evan, without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward. And now, and I'm not saying the series is over yet, but I will tell you, this does not look good in a must-win situation coming up on Monday night. And Paul Pierce, shut up. Don't come out and say after Game 1, it's over. Oh, it's over. Evan, did someone just tell Paul Pierce before he went into broadcasting, say the most asinine, ridiculous things, and people will notice you more than they notice Chauncey Billups?
This is how you get paid in this industry, but I don't know if we should be talking about the Celtics today. Did you see Jaylen Brown's comments to Jackie McMullen? The media puts so much pressure on us. They blow things out of proportion, and people run with it. If we want to support our boys today, Mark James, maybe we should just leave the Celtics alone. I don't think it's our job to be breaking down their breakdown last night. I don't think we should do that. We want to support our guys. Go team!
You know, Jaylen, that might work in a couple of former markets I've been in, like Charlotte and Atlanta. That doesn't work here in Boston. It
shouldn't work anywhere,
right, exactly. Exactly. But therein, what you just described as the prototypical millennial / Generation Z athlete who doesn't want to take criticism, doesn't know how to handle it, And if I'm just telling, when does Brad Stevens stop getting a pass
from
people?
Well, let me ask you, I'm interested in the Stevens point, because I watching last night's, you know, third to the end of the game, what was specifically on Stevens? Because I just saw a lifeless team that had no idea what shots it wanted to take. And I don't know if you can coach that. You don't think Brad Stevens...
I'll be the first to admit.
This is that group of players.
I'll be the first to admit. The officiating was piss poor. It was awful.
I'm not doing officiating.
But it was bad. And the fifth foul they call in Jaylen Brown was where Brad
that
Stevens...
That was a bad call.
That was a horrible call. But the thing you learn about in the NBA playoffs, Drellick, is that the more aggressive team gets the calls. And last night... Milwaukee wanted it, and I got to tell you, I jinxed it a little bit because I said during the middle of the third quarter, I turned to Butch Stearns from Fox 25, Boston 25. I said, you know what's weird? Milwaukee's playing really well, and Chris Middleton hasn't really hit anything from outside. And then he hit like a couple threes in a row, and I'm like, oh, well, I just jinxed that one. The Celtics just looked like they were going through the motions. I will tell you why Budenholzer outcoached them, because every time the Celtics made a run, Budenholzer called the timeout. He changed things up a little bit. And how many uncontested layups did George Hill get to the basket? Giannis, it was like the Celtics, like it was like a parting of the Red Sea or the Green Sea. We're going to let Giannis just go down the paint. And if we're able to impede his progress to the basket, he's going to be able to kick it out to Connaughton or... Chris Middleton or George Hill. It was ridiculous. It was embarrassing. And Evan, Monday night, it's either the Celtics will live to fight another day or it's over. Because if you lose Monday night, game over, series over, you're not going to beat the team with the best record in the NBA three straight games, and two of those three, Evan, on the road.
Watching Giannis... And I'm going to be honest, I haven't seen a ton of him prior to this series. This might shock you as a former baseball beat writer. I wasn't watching the Celtics every night forever or NBA period.
By the way, when is WEI Rob Bradford going to hire you full-time to take Tomas'
job? You know, I'd have to direct that question to Rob Bradford.
Okay, come on, Bradford. Let's direct
that question to the editor. He is a man among boys. He had moves going to the basket last night that I can't remember seeing in a long time. And the way that team, it felt like him and everyone else in the Bucks, yet everyone else operated in sync. It was a smooth operation. They knew what they were doing, and the Celtics just looked clueless.
I mean, it's getting ridiculous at this point.
Kyrie Irving has to realize when he makes that comment after that. I understand he's frustrated, and maybe he thinks the officiating really does suck, but we've talked all year about accountability. Accountability for the Celtics. This is what we wanted with the Red Sox. We wanted accountability. Where is the Kyrie Irving post-game accountability
No, he didn't have any.
Did he say,
he didn't have any,
this is on me?
Nope.
As well as the refs? You know, it's one thing to go, it's on the younger guys. It's on the refs. Kind of do the act he's had all year. That's fine. You know, you good for you for speaking out, whatever. But you also got to look at your own performance. You can't look across the way and see what Giannis is doing and go,
he had 22 free throws. He actually said 23 at the post-game press conference. He was off by one, but he kept mentioning that. Well, you know why he had 22 free throws? Because he's the MVP, because he's aggressive, and he will continue to go to the hoop and make it tough on the team. And I'll tell you, you're going to find out. We're going to find out, Drellick, Monday night, what Brad Stevens, who's John Farrell without a ring, Brad Farrell, if you will, that what this guy is made of, how he's going to counter Coach Bud, Mike Budenholzer, because Budenholzer is absolutely out-coaching him in this series. And like you said, you can only blame officiating to a certain extent. Kyrie Irving, great point out of you. No accountability in the post-game press conference last night. How about the point he didn't want to talk about, Evan, where he's getting killed on the switches by Brook Lopez? Lopez was killing him on the switches on the pick and roll. How about that one, Kyrie? Me, Kyrie? There's no I in
team. So when you're complaining about the refs, you would think there'd be a pretty big disparity in the number of free throw attempts, right?
You would
think there'd be a huge difference in the number of times the teams are sent to the line.
Yeah.
36 attempts for the Bucks. 32 for the Celtics. Celtics had more points from free throws, because they made more, than the Bucks did. Why are we talking about officiating?
Nah, it's all I know is this, that last night, to me, there needs to be a and to think about it, too, just hours after it was announced that Danny Ainge had a mild heart attack in Milwaukee, you figure the team would put together, you know, just a concerted effort to come out and show the home fans, we're ready, we've got this. We're gonna take control of it. We've already stolen home court advantage. What we're gonna do now is we're gonna win. We're gonna try to win both games at home. Now it's like you hope you just salvage a split, and then after that, you still have to win two out of three on the road. So basically, if you're the Celtics, you have to win games 4, 5, and 6, because I don't have faith in them to win game 7 on the road in Milwaukee.
You know, it's just a shame, Mark. I think this team really could have gone all the way if Marcus Smart had been out there. I really just think if that oblique injury hadn't happened, that intercostal, Celtics would be rolling right. It's just a darn shame that injuries had to torpedo this Celtics
season. Oh, and meanwhile, when you talk about injuries, how about this? The Bucks don't have one of their best shooters, Malcolm Brogdon. He hasn't played in the first three games. So they're doing this without Brogdon, a guy. It's amazing thing is that when Bledsoe got in foul trouble last night, he picked up his third foul early in the second quarter. They got better when George Hill came in the game. It was like, Bledsoe, you're garbage. Who cares? But then once George Hill came in the game, they were better without Bledsoe than with him. Terry Rozier last night, absolutely pathetic. And you know, how about Jason Tatum? Jason Tatum, he hit as many three-pointers last night as you and me, Drellick.
He did have 20 points. 11 rebounds.
No three-pointers. I mean, like, zero from the outside. It was bad. The only guys who showed up last night were Kyrie Irving, who didn't have a good shooting night. Marcus Morris was a beast last night. Maybe because it's his identical twin, Markieff, was there wearing his jersey. Marcus Morris was a man last night. He showed up. He earned his paycheck last night. Al Horford didn't show up. Average Al showed up last night, as Lou Maloney likes to call him. I got to give Lou credit on that one. And I loved what I saw out of Jaylen Brown. I didn't like what you just said about what after the game Jaylen Brown said. That was pathetic.
That was before the Jaylen Brown quote I read was to Jackie McMullen. I think it was in the time. It was either after game one or in between series. So it was not after last night's game, but it was a big story that came out yesterday, and I was talking about it on the air yesterday as well.
Now, wasn't that in her article? Was that in her article that came out about Kyrie and being a leader?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, I saw that.
It was in the bigger picture story about the Celtics and you know, how they seem to have maybe gotten things together in the locker room and all this stuff, but if the last two games have shown us anything, it's stupid us. How dumb were we to sit there and go, oh, they figured it out. They got it. And I was one of those people. Clearly not. Clearly the egg is on all of, you know, Sports Talk Radio gets criticized for being negative all the time.
Mm-hmm.
For casting a reasonable doubt on certain things. Okay. There was a reason to have reasonable doubt about the Celtics. I guess that's the definition of reasonable doubt.
Yeah,
now what? So now the people who switched over, who watched the way they took care of the Pacers, who watched game one of this series, who were like, okay, all right, I'm going to be positive about this team. I'm going to ignore everything my eyes, ears showed me, told me for the entirety of the regular season and go, you know what, after three games, or if you want to say after five playoff games, I think the Celtics have figured it out. Nope. Trust what's in front of you and what's been in front of you. And if you were sitting there going after three games, five games, they got this, you're wrong. You're dumb. You were tricking yourself. You were giving into the pressure. You were ignoring everything else you had in front of you.
617-779-7937 to get in. We got a bunch of callers already on hold. We'll get to all of you. And if you don't see the light that I'm trying to shed to you people about Brad Stevens, Brad Farrell,
I'm not with you on that.
Well,
we can go back on this one.
Well,
during the day,
like, you're finding out right now, and maybe Monday night he'll put together and he'll counter Coach Bud and what he's done, and hopefully he can bring this series back to Boston.
Is this team coachable, Mark?
But hold on, wait a second. They got to Game 7 where they had a lead in the fourth quarter of the Eastern Conference,
wasn't it?
No Kyrie Irving, no Gordon Hayward, your two highest paid players. You got to Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. You had a chance to beat LeBron James, who at that moment had gone to 7 straight NBA Finals out of the Eastern Conference. And it looks like this year you're not going to be able to get out of the second round.
When you look at last year's team and you look at what the problem is now and you single out, you already singled out Gordon Hayward.
I don't blame
Hayward because he's coming back from a leg injury.
No, he can't keep using. He's on the court. If he's on the court,
who's on the fine? If you want to put that on Stevens, that's fine. But you have a better alternative. You have somebody else you're going to turn to because you need that high potential that Hayward brings every time he's out there. But that goes into the same thing I rail on the Red Sox for. It's about roster planning and vision. Danny Ainge decided, all right, we know we have a medical staff. We know what's going on with Gordon Hayward. We're going to rely on him to be close to what he was last year? Because that seems to be the plan. But clearly, Gordon Hayward was never...
Well, we've seen that throughout the course of the season. Then he's
seen highs and lows.
Highs and lows. But he was peaking really high going into the playoffs. And I'll tell you this right now. I told everybody, that series against Indiana was total fool's gold. That sweep was a joke. Indiana was an NIT team, to use a college basketball term. They had no business being in the postseason. They somehow were able to get the 5 seed without their best player, Victor Oladipo. I'll tell you this right now. If Victor Oladipo was healthy 100% in the first round, they would have knocked off this Celtics
team. So are we going swimming in the Charles and the Celtics win the rest of the series, every game left in the series?
And hey, I'll do something. At this juncture, you and I have great lettuce, great head of hair. I'm not touching the hair. We'll not touch the hair, but I'll do something. I will do something because this is just not working right now at all. 617-779-7937. And I'm telling you, Brad Farrell is getting outcoached by Mike Budenholzer. And anybody out there who you can't watch this and you can't see what's going on, then you don't know basketball. You got to watch it a little bit longer than the last few years. But he's been here six.
Yeah, I just don't know if call a timeout, stop momentum. Watching last night looked like a player problem to me. It didn't seem to be an obvious Brad Stevens thing. But I'm curious what the fans have to say.
But here's the thing, Drellick. Here's the thing. What happened in game one? I'll give Brad Stevens the nod on that one.
Oh, that's classic Boston. That's classic sports fandom in general.
Right.
If it's working, we will give all the credit in the world. If it doesn't work, then no. It's somebody else. The same guy you would credit when something goes right, you probably should be willing to discredit when something goes wrong. But that's not how it works. You're a hater if you do that. I guess we're just a couple of haters.
Yeah, we are. 617-779-7937. All right, a lot of things to get to. Your Celtics calls, obviously, there. There's a big game 5 tonight here at TD Garden. The Bruins have taken control once again of the series against the Columbus Blue Jackets. David Pastrnak, wow. Has anybody fallen off a cliff more than that guy, even though he had a goal the other night? We'll continue to talk about that. And the Red Sox, Drellick.
That train is rolling, baby.
The Red Sox. Wow. Michael Chavis. It's unbelievable. Oh, and can somebody please tell Petey Dustin Pedroia that 2008 was a long time ago?
You're just a long time ago. Sun's out. Mark James's gun's out.
Yeah. Oh, they are out. They are pointing outwards at everyone and everything. Hey, also, just want to say it's great to see Larry Johnson back in
awesome.
Studio.
And awesome.
Very nice to see that.
You got to praise something. I'm going to praise that.
All right. We'll get to nothing but your phone calls. Coming up next, 617-779-7937. But we're going to be trending right now. I'm going to call him Brad Farrell because he's actually John Farrell without a ring.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to James and Drellick on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
I don't know where Milwaukee goes from here. Because
what are you?
Whoa! No, so listen. Is this over?
No, listen. I think it's over.
This series is over.
Yeah.
Oh, it's over now, Paul? It's over? Is that the truth? So the series is over now, huh? Celtics wrapping this thing up in five?
I think it's over.
Can you imagine that? Like that he thought it was over. He thought it was over.
Let's be real about these ex-athletes who are in that position in the media that Paul Pierce are in. They're all the same with this stuff. Same thing David Ortiz brings. Same thing A-Rod brings. It's all rah-rah for whatever other team. I guess A-Rod's a little different, but when's the last time you had one of these stars who was doing media stuff who was like really insightful and wasn't just there to pump up the team he's most associated with? Never happens.
No, it doesn't. 617-779-7937. Pathetic performance last night by the Celtics. Mortifying. For everybody there that showed up last night and paid your hard-earned money, you should get your money back. You deserve your money back. And hopefully the Celtics will be able to deliver Monday night and make this a 2-2 series like the Bruins did. Bruins won that one on the road. And I got to just say this, too, on the Bruins. Tuukka Rask in Game 4 was nothing short of spectacular. To me, that's a shutout.
Homer you are. Oh,
No. That was the fakest goal I've ever seen in NHL playoff history. That goal that that Panarin got off the netting. That was such BS. That was a joke. But the Bruins tonight, I expect the Bruins to come through. Unlike the Celtics last night, the Bruins, I expect them to win tonight.
We should be so thankful the Bruins won that game, because if they didn't after that goal, the amount of bitching and whining that would be going. Hey, Kyrie would probably be whining about the Bruins, too.
But here's the thing, Evan. This is why replay, for the most part, doesn't work. Now, last night, I got home and I watched the quadruple overtime game, only the second time in NBA playoff history that a game went to quadruple overtime. The other one was the Celtics and Sixers back in 1953. So that was Larry Johnson senior year in high school. No, I love you, Larry. I'm just kidding. I'm only kidding. It might have been, though. I might not be wrong on that.
I was thinking of the other Larry Johnson. Took me a second.
No. Our Larry Johnson. No. The LJ at UNLV, he didn't graduate Vegas until like 91. Well, he didn't actually graduate, but you know what I mean. But they get it right. For the most part in sports, case in point, NFC Championship game, Saints-Rams, Nickell Roby-Coleman. It cost the Saints a chance in the Super Bowl. We would have got Brady versus Breeze. Instead, we got...
Yeah, but was that replay getting it wrong, or was that an absence of replay getting it wrong? That was replay not covering enough as opposed to replay...
Well, that also was the fact that replay could not review a play like that at the time. Now they're making everything reviewable. You couldn't review a judgment call like that. But replay usually gets it wrong. They got it wrong the other night, and I'm glad Mike Milbury pointed out in the broadcast, former Bruin, and he goes, Boston, you know, on this one, you got screwed on this one, Boston, and thankfully it didn't matter. But someone, I don't know if it was Tuukka, someone brought this up. What if that was the Stanley Cup Game 7?
Yeah, that's the problem. And I bet they'll find some way to fix that in the rules in the offseason.
Yeah.
You have to.
617-779-7937. Now, we have a brand new phone system, so Eamon, our producer, Eamon, we're going to start with Mike in North Providence today.
Gotcha, Mark.
So here we go. Hey, Mike, what's up?
For me, I agree with most of what you've been saying. For me, this comes down to what I call the sins of the season, because this is the regular season catching up to them in the postseason, because for really good teams, the regular season's basically a preseason for the postseason. That's what it always was for the Spurs.
I love that.
Yeah, and when the Bucks are talking about we're going to keep on doing what we're doing, we're just going to do it right, that's it. They didn't change their identity. They didn't have to change anything. They just had to play the style of basketball they play right. And then that's what they've done the last two games. For us, you know, first off, Jaylen Brown was not properly incorporated into the team during the regular season. And now they're paying for it because the postseason's here, and that's where superior athleticism separates from the wheat from the chaff. He's a great athlete, and so he can defeat scheme. He can do things other guys can't do because he's just a better athlete than they are. I mean, that's why LeBron and Jordan, guys like that, were such great players. Their athleticism just allowed them to overwhelm whatever the defense was doing. Secondly, and this is very important, They did not value getting to the free throw line all season. I mean, they were one of the worst teams in the league at getting to the line. And in game one, they hardly had any free throws. It's almost like the plan is perfect. We're not getting to the line. Well, now you're paying for it in this sort of, you know, slug it out game, because your whole mentality is to just kick out for open jump shots as opposed to attack the rim. And finally,
I didn't see the open
shots. Very
important.
This is a third, and this is a very important. Over the last two regular seasons against the Bucks, Kyrie Irving averaged 23 points a game, but he averaged 22.3 shots. So he was averaging 1.0.
Yeah, it was a Carmelo Anthony type performance, exactly.
And now he's doing the same thing here. He's averaging 1.05 points per shot because they're giving him enough rope to hang us with. He has to realize, you know what, they're kind of like suckering me in just taking inefficient shots. I need to be more of a facilitator. And that's where I'm coming from.
Mike, all your points are salient and valid. I like it. I can tell you know your basketball. How much of the onus, though, do you put on Brad Stevens for this? Because to me, if you look at the beginning of the game, and I know it was early, the Garden was rocking. I think Jaylen Brown hit back-to-back three-pointers. The Celtics went up 10-2. It was like, uh-oh, could this be blowout city? Mike Boonholzer called the timeout, and before you knew it, the Bucks were right back in it. The game could have gotten away early. I just look, and I see, and then what Boonholzer realized that, wait a second, Kyrie Irving, he's, especially when we're on offense, talking about Milwaukee, when Milwaukee's on offense, we've got to make Kyrie accountable on the switches. He got killed on the switches by Brook Lopez all game long.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, for me, this the person most to blame is Brad.
Thank you.
Because he's the guy who's in charge of setting. Yeah, I mean, I look at those as almost kind of like being like a machine where things are all wobbly because they have all the, you know, the nuts haven't been tightened, the bolts haven't, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is a team
where
they don't
really
know exactly
who they are. What if you tried to tighten it as much as possible and you can't get it any tighter? That's what we're assuming here with Brad Stevens. If there's something he doesn't realize and hasn't tried to address, you can try to address everything, but at the end of the day, if they're not taking it out there, that's on your players. It's not on Brad Stevens. We just don't know at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, to me, that's something that you look at last night, and I mean, Red Auerbach's got to be like, what the F is going on?
You're referencing calling a timeout. You know, if we're going to say that there are things that Brad Stevens is not doing here, I think we've got to go deeper than that. It can't just be, well, the Bucks had a well-timed timeout.
No. Like, I'll tell you what's more than that. Throughout the course of the season, he's allowed teams. I was there against Sacramento the night that Sacramento here at TD
were
Garden.
Steph Curry seats? Or
no, Sacramento.
No, I'm just saying.
No,
I figure he gives you.
No, Sacramento went on a 17-0 run. I saw Houston do it on that Sunday afternoon game. They went on multiple, like, 15, 16-point runs. Brad Stevens doesn't know when to stop the bleeding. It's like if he was a corner man of a fighter, he'd let the fighter pretty much almost get knocked out before he would just throw in the towel.
Isn't there a philosophy that says that timeouts were overused for a time? The old let's slow it down philosophy,
but you can't
actually the best.
You can't let a team go on like a 22-3 run, and he's done that time and time again all season long.
Well, it's a game of runs, Mark.
It is a game of runs.
That's National Basketball Association basketball.
I know it is. It's not good, is what it is. 617-779-7937. Leonard in Warwick, Rhode Island. We're big in Warwick. Well, go ahead, Leonard.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you, Mark and Evan?
Good. How are you?
But I think with the Celtics, game one and two kind of washed each other out.
Sure.
I don't think there's much they could have done which would have changed the outcomes. But game three, I think, was really visible. They were lacking a defensive presence. And I think no one's really talking about not having Marcus Smart there to add a little bit of roughness and defensive presence.
You think they're heading this series? Marcus Smart's out there. You think they win last night? Marcus Smart's out there.
I think maybe it comes down to the wire. If not, puts them ahead a little bit.
I want to cut that narrative off before we get there, because they lose this series. You're gonna have the green teamers and the basketball experts who are gonna go down that road of, you know, if they only had Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart isn't saving them the way they played last night. They need to collectively, as a group, their terrible shot selection. The problems are much deeper than whatever physicality, toughness, defense Marcus Smart would give you. It's silly.
Yeah, I think he maybe just helped slow down the other team a little.
Oh, there's
bit.
No doubt he would make a huge difference.
He's stopping Giannis.
Yeah.
No.
What's he doing?
No, right, right.
So what is he doing? Tell me what Marcus Smart is doing if he's up.
He's stopping Giannis, but he's going to bring some pressure on the other guys and maybe switching back and off with some doubles.
He could make life miserable for Middleton. He could do that. And middle, right. Like he could. Marcus Smart's one of those. And so I'm not denying you. It just then the Bucks could say, well, we haven't had Malcolm Brogdon. So, I mean, Brogdon has been, you know, pretty good for them. And they could say that the same thing, too. It's like injuries are part of the game, whether you like it or not.
Right. Yeah, it seemed like there was no defense really on either side last night. I mean, a little bit.
Right. I mean, 123 to 116. I mean, and that's the thing. And here's the thing, Leonard. It comes down Monday night. If they lose, it's a wrap. It's over. Season done.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on board with that. I mean, they've got to come back and do something really impressive to try and pull that back. But, yeah, I mean, again, going back to Brad, the matchups weren't right, letting things run too long. I mean, there's a few different factors, but I'm really looking at the defense last night. And, I mean, guys were doing whatever really they wanted on either end of the floor.
Yeah, they were. I mean, it's a couple call. Hey, listen, it's not about agreeing with me or disagreeing, Evan. People starting to see this about Brad
Stevens.
Did
the Bucks figure something out after game one? Was there something they figured out about what the Celtics were trying to do that they're now exploiting? Something about Brad Stevens' defense?
I asked that question to Mike Budenholzer last night, and of course he's going to defer and play the modest game. He said, no, I think...
Well, they don't want to give us a
break. Right, no, exactly. But that's a great question, Drellick, is that, yes, they did. They're like, okay... Here's what you got to understand. Mike Budenholzer, he was just, I think, by his peers, he's about to become the 2-time NBA Coach of the Year. He was a Coach of the Year with Atlanta. Atlanta came into Boston 3 years ago with Al Horford and beat the Celtics in Game 6 right here to eliminate them out of the playoffs back then. Like, he knows he's one of the best coaches in the NBA. He's a product of Popovich. This guy, you know, he knows how to win. He knows what, and I think you're...
And as we've seen with Bill Belichick, anytime you come from a good coaching tree, you're guaranteed success automatically. That's why Eric Mangini's...
Belichick's coaching tree and Charlie
Bill O'Brien's
Weiss.
Charlie
Weiss. Listen, Bill O'Brien's actually, he's still employed.
Texans, yeah, all right.
He's still employed, so we'll get that on. Bill O'Brien, you know, there's on that. So, Paul Pierce, can I ask you a question, Paul Pierce? The Celtics, is this series over? Like, the Celtics going to win this series? You think it's like, what do you think in terms of the Celtics, how this series is going to play out for them?
No, listen, I think it's over.
Oh, okay. I think it's over. I wish we can hear, I want to hear the long part of that too. We can get that. Like, Paul Pierce, man, you got to put the green and white pom-poms down.
No, listen, I think it's over.
This series is over.
Yeah, they
one
lost.
One game? You just sat there and said that they could win an NBA championship.
Yeah, I did say that, but
one game.
I think styles make fights in boxing.
We know the style of all teams before the series started.
Yeah, but it just seemed like Milwaukee was the way better team throughout the regular season. But when I watched this today, if Giannis doesn't have a monster game and somebody else besides him doesn't step up, Boston is just going to out-talent them.
Mm. So there it is. 617-779-7937. We'll get to most of your phone calls coming up next. And yes, the Marcus Smart thing, no doubt about it. Malcolm Brogdon, Evan, nearly 16 points a game.
How is Danny Ainge's name not come up once today? How can we be talking about Marcus Smart officiating one person asked a question about the guy who decided this group of players,
Evan,
would work together?
Evan, they got to Game 7 last year without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward.
Okay, but they made a judgment going into this year about what the revamped group of players would be able to do and what they were going to look like together. And they might have made a bad judgment, Mark.
We tried not to overreact.
But that's correct. Paul Pierce and me and Mark James alike. We don't overreact to one game.
Never. 617-779-7937. Drellick and James.
I mean, it's getting ridiculous at this point.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now back to James and Drellick on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Six one seven 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 nine seven ninety three seven. Drellick and James back together again here on WEEI. Getting to your phone calls without any further ado. Tom in the Cape in Falmouth. What's up, Tom?
So, guys, I only thing I can agree with you about the Brad thing is that sometimes I am with you that he doesn't call timeouts quick enough. But other than that, to me, this team, Brad Stevens' coach teams have always been about defense first. And what's different from last year? We have Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is a horrible, not even moderate defender. George Hill going by you like he's like 20 years old is ridiculous. I mean, absolutely atrocious. And Gordon Hayward is moderate at best. That's where it all stemmed from. Last night they had the Bucks had 95 points at the end of the third quarter. Usually
they scored 40 in
the whole game.
I know they scored 40 in the third alone, Tom.
Right, so that's to me. Last year's team was full of, and they struggled because they didn't have a go-to scorer. I get that. But last year's team, at certain points of the time on the floor, they had five not just good but elite defenders on the floor during the playoffs last year. And there's a balance there, obviously, and I feel like, the team that we have doesn't have that balance when Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving are on the floor together.
So, and it's Tom, it's looking like that right now, that this team, like a year ago, without Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, were better than with them. Isn't that amazing?
But you're both talking about exactly what I was talking about going into the break. So if you're saying that there was a better defensive makeup last year, who does that fall to? Who's choosing the guys that are supposed to be on the floor?
But Evan, everybody thought that Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward,
everybody thought wrong.
Well, I mean,
at some point,
Kyrie Irving's one of the best closers in the league.
You can start to do the postmortem now. I'm not saying they're absolutely done, but if you want to be out in front of it, if you want to be considered to have had a first guess and not a second guess, you start looking now and saying, okay, if this doesn't work out, the Celtics get knocked out, who are we going to blame, and what are the reasons this didn't work? And everybody, again, officiating, Marcus Smart, Brad Stevens, somebody at some point has got to look at the top and go, huh, they did not nail how this group is going to work together. They did not have a full grasp or did not project or did not prepare themselves well enough to handle how this group was going to work. That is somebody's fault.
And you're putting that on Danny Ainge.
Who else would you put it on?
No, I'm just asking. Is that what you're putting it on Ainge?
The guy who brings the players together, if those players don't end up working out, we're talking about accountability for everybody except the guy who puts the roster together? What sense does that make?
Yeah, well, I'll say this. Tom, appreciate the phone call, is that we have two guys in Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving who make a combined $61 million. Now, Gordon
decided to give them that kind of money.
Now, Gordon Hayward's $31 million a year. That was on it. But at the time, it looked like a deal where, okay, that's what the Celtics need. Like in the summer of 2016, they got Al Horford. In the summer of 2017, they got Gordon Hayward, and they traded for Kyrie Irving. It looked like everything was being built. Ainge made the deal. He had the number one overall pick. He trades down. He fleeces Philly, gets a future one, and then gets Jason Tatum.
All right, so Ainge has had a lot of time at this point. I'm not saying you're getting rid of Danny Ainge, but at some point, the discussion has to go to, all right, he built a good team. Did you build a great team? Did you actually build a team that could contend with Golden State? Did you actually build
a
title contender?
This team matches up well. Like, I'm just saying individually, they're the only team in the NBA. Now, granted, they only play them twice a year. They're the only team in the last 4 years who doesn't have a losing record against Golden State.
So you think because they beat them in the regular season. If they could just get by the Bucks.
Listen, I think Danny Ainge has done his job to put this team in a best position to win. But I think this falls on coaching. And I ask the question, I'm asking you and I'm asking the audience, why does Brad Stevens get a pass here? Why? He continues to get a pass. I don't get it.
I think you go to the players before you go to Brad Stevens. I just don't know what more you think Brad Stevens could do to help this group.
He did a better job last year without his two highest pick players.
This is the equivalent argument to me of the reason the Red Sox pitchers sucked in April is because of Sandy Leon. Didn't have Sandy Leon back. No, you know why they sucked? Because they sucked. You know why Kyrie Irving isn't playing well? Because Kyrie Irving isn't playing well. Not because Brad Stevens didn't whisper the right things in his ear during halftime. That's not how this works, I don't think. What the hell do I know?
Kyrie Irving last night, listen, he didn't have a good shooting night. He had 29 points, but he was a minus 7. The only guy on the floor last night for the Celtics, the only person on the floor who had a plus rating was Jaylen Brown. He was the only one who really showed up on both ends of the floor last night. He shows up in the playoffs. Jason Tatum on defense, non-existent.
I mean, it's getting ridiculous at this point.
Non-existent. Where's Jason Tatum on defense? Now, you want to spend this summer with Kobe? Oh, by the way, did you see in this whole thing that Kobe does called detail? When he did a detail on Kyrie Irving, he says on his protege, Jason Tatum, he talks about, as he's dissecting the film of Kyrie Irving, how Jason Tatum gets lost on offense and defense. That's what Kobe says about his protege.
So how quick do you expect Jason Tatum to grow up? How quick do you expect Jason Tatum to become ceiling Jason Tatum?
Here's my thing. And if the Celtics have any chance of re-signing Kyrie Irving, and I think it's a foregone conclusion, I think Kyrie Irving already has his place in the East Side.
Let's go Knicks, baby.
He's going to be a Knick.
Woo!
Oh, now there's talk. Listen to this one, Trellick. I don't know if you heard the latest rumor. So as the Knicks fix on the lottery, which is coming up, and it should be fixed for all the stuff that they, you know, you got to fix.
Oh, they need one.
Listen to this. The Knicks, providing they get the number one pick in the draft, Zion Williamson, would trade that to New Orleans to get Anthony Davis. Kyrie, Durant, and Anthony Davis.
That's a big three real quick.
Dude, that's Eastern Conference champions for like the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, you know, if they could pull that off, it'd be amazing. And as someone who did grow up in New York rooting for the Knicks, it is way overdue for that franchise to be relevant. But, I mean, I remember when the Heat got Bosh and Wade, and you had some
and LeBron
pundit, right? And you had some pundits going, they're never going to lose a game, you know. And so we always take that a little too far. As good as you think they're going to be when you have those super teams, they're never usually that good, I guess, except for Golden State, and that's prior to now.
And the Heat went to four straight finals,
right? But they weren't. You're right. I'm probably.
And they
probably
won back to back. They won back to back. They probably.
But the way people talked about the Heat when that happened, what was that? 2010, 2000,
yeah.
2010.
Yep, 2010. Yep,
it was. Like it was going to be something we've never seen before. I don't know if it was quite that. Just unbeatable. My Knicks will be unbeatable. I'm ready for that.
Well, if the Knicks get the number one pick and then Kevin Durant decides to take his talents to Manhattan, it's on. It is so on. 617-779-7937. There's one line open. If you want to get in, you want to talk about the Celtics, talk about the Bruins. Oh, by the way, Evans Red Sox The Sockies last night, Evan. What do you think about that?
Raffy Devers. Huge rebound game for him.
Rebound game. How about a rebound game for Frail? A rebound like for his whole season. He gets his first win. Welcome.
You know what? Can somebody call up and tell me how right I was about Chris Sale? I told all you idiots.
You did.
I told you.
No, come.
Hey, how's your boy DeGrom doing, by the way?
Okay.
He looks real good.
Okay.
He looks awesome right now.
Hey, how'd Syndergaard look the other night, pal?
Your whole argument was DeGrom over Sale.
I'm still sticking with that.
Well, you're wrong on a lot of things.
Well,
to be wrong on this one.
You're definitely wrong on that. You're definitely wrong.
I told you
that.
Sale was healthy. I told you come May, he'd be fine. Where is my praise? Is anybody bringing me gifts today? Just fine, and I was right.
I've sucked every last one of them.
And we have something else, which is back, which is really back. The blow pen. The blow pen is back. Terrell and James.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.